Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and thank God that we're here just another day, another time.
Be able, as the writer says, to get into and to look into none other than the perfect law of liberty, which is the Word of God. So it's good to be here. I think we weren't on the air last week. I think we were last on the air January 2nd. So Happy New Year again. I don't know how long you say that. I guess people are about done saying it. Maybe this month you run into people. But anyway, thank God that we're here. So we just thank God for 2013, and thank God for his word. Peter says that the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. So his word is true. His word that goeth forth out of his mouth is not going to return void. It's going to accomplish the thing he sent it and prosper in that which I please, saith the Lord. So thank God for his word. So we thank God for all of our Blog Talk listeners and followers and friends. Thank God for you. Also, our Twitter followers and our listeners on Twitter. Also, we have new followers. We'd like to say welcome to Truth Ministry at blogtalkradio.com/truth-. And that is our address. blogtalkradio.com/truth-. So thank God for you. And then also all of our Facebook listeners, we thank God for all of those that listen on Facebook. So it's a blessing to be able to declare the word of the Lord, because everybody don't know who Jesus is. So that's what it's all about. It's not about us. So many people are trying to bring back the error of the prophets. The error of the prophets is done away with. There is no more, you don't do what Elijah said and all of these other prophets said. That time is over. Bible says God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his son. That is the office of sonship. So there is no ministry of the prophets, and you bring your money to the prophets and all that foolishness. That is a lie. Don't believe that lie. So it's all about Jesus. So you don't bring your money to a man. That's foolishness. But you pay tithe and offering into a local ministry. So you purpose in your heart what you're going to give. You don't pay for no blessing. You can't buy a blessing. And that's the way that is. And there's no apostles and prophets these days. But you are to get in a local church who believes in the one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. That is, those that are like the apostles, we call them apostolic, who are like the apostles. And so we know that the Lord Jesus Christ himself chose the apostles. He had many disciples that follow him, but he chose 12 apostles. Their job was to, and they were, and actually, and in reality, they were sent forth. That is what another thing, what it means to be an apostle. They were sent. But their job was to lay the foundation, write the New Testament scriptures. And incidentally, all of the apostles were eyewitnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can read in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Apostle Paul is talking about all the ones who saw the Lord. And he went on in his testimony and said, "And last of all, he was seen of me as one born out of due season." So I don't get it. That's just pride. These people are trying to exalt themselves. You're not an apostle. The Lord didn't choose you. And also, the apostles, every last one of them died a horrible death. John the Revelator, you can read in Fox's Book of Martyrs, he was preserved. He was boiled in oil, but God didn't let him die. So he was in the isle that is called Patmos for the testimony of God. So he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. So the Lord let him see all of the revelations and visions going back and forth in the book of the Revelation. He saw the end. You know, after the fourth chapter in the book of Revelation, church is gone. The church is in heaven. Everything else is back and forth, the visions. So that it's not important about us. What you want to do is, like the writer said, of the one song says, "Are you in the church triumphant? Are you in the Savior's bride? Have you been baptized into the body and forever there abide?" So we know the Lord gave Peter the keys. Matthew 16 and 18 says, "Thou art Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church." Not on Peter, but he is the rock. And Peter's confession, he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." So he charged them to tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ, the Christos, or the anointed flesh of God. So anyway, we know that he gave, you read the Gospels, the Lord gave Peter the keys to the kingdom of heaven. So that's why in the 8th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, they had to wait till Peter got there, down in Samaria. When he got there, Peter and John, that he might lay hands on them, but it fell on none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So God is a God of order. So Peter had the keys. That means Peter had the power and the authority in the name of Jesus to lay hands on them, and they might receive the Holy Ghost. So that this is exactly what happened. And even in the 10th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, the Holy Ghost fell. Then also the Apostle Paul in the 19th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, he laid his hands on them, and the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. So God is a God of order. So it had to be open on the day of Pentecost to Jews and all of those, and then also going down in the 8th chapter of Acts had opened up to the Samaritans. In the 10th chapter of Acts, it opened up unto the Gentiles. Also in the 19th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. So what is that? You got to be born again of water and of the Spirit. Water baptism is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, or the name of the Lord Jesus, or the name of Jesus Christ. That's what makes the virtue in the water, in the name of Jesus. Not that lie that Constantine had that vision in 3-something A.D., so-called Trinity. God is not a Trinity God, and there is no such thing in the Hebrew canon. The word Trinity is not in the Bible. So that is a lie from hell, and they came up with repeating the, they call it Catholic baptism, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But Jesus says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's the operative word right there, teach, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The name is a person, place, or thing. The name is a name of a man, and the man's name is Jesus. So that's why Peter said on the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He went on to say, for the promise is unto you Jews, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So that's the greatest revelation of all times, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. So that there, the devil knows that there is only one God. So it's just, there's no confusion. James 2 and 19, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. So they believe God's word, but the devil is a liar and the father of it, as we have showed throughout the scriptures. We have been showing that. And I think we were in the 8th chapter of St. John. We were talking about that, if my memory, I recall correctly. So it's so important. You got to get it right, because you don't want to stand before the Lord and don't have it right. So thank God for the medium of technology, and that is this one, Blog Talk Radio, is a way of conveying God's word. So it's so important. So this is why we have been on this subject probably 12 or I don't even know how many weeks, 12 or 14 weeks of teaching the Godhead. You can't exhaust the word of the Lord. So water baptism is so important because you have to have it, and it's essential. And the devil knows that if you're not born again, you're not going to make it. So you got to have the name. You have to have the water, and you have to have water, not the water, but you have to have water and the Spirit. That's why Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. So you could be baptized in a pool. You could be baptized in a lake, in a river, in a bathtub, at a horse trough. It matters not. What makes the virtue in the water is in the name of Jesus. Like somebody said one time, they wanted to be baptized in running water. A pastor is going on to be with the Lord. I had made mention one time, somebody said they want to be baptized in running water. And he said, it's all running. We just got it stopped up. So it doesn't matter if it's a river or if it's a pool where we baptize. If what makes the virtue in the water is the name of Jesus. And so St. Luke 24 and 46, well, we can go up a little farther. St. Luke 24 and 44, he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. This is after his resurrection, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. This is the Lord Jesus talking. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. He said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins, there it is right there, should be preached in his name. What name? The name of Jesus. Among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things, talking about the resurrection and how he made numerous appearances while he was on earth for 40 days after his resurrection. So he goes on and says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you to tear you in the city of Jerusalem, to tear you be endued with power from on high. So that is, they went into an upper room, the writer says in the book of Luke, who is the same writer, in the writer Luke, in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, who is Luke, who wrote Luke, St. Luke, and the Acts of the Apostles. Dr. Luke, the beloved physician, wrote both of these books. He led them up out as far as Bethany and lifted up his hands and blessed them, and it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. They worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. So there's nothing like his word. Like I've said before, those who have followed, and there may be new listeners or followers, the term Godhead is only in the Bible three times, Colossians 2 and 9, Romans 1 and 20, and Acts 17 and 29. So there's only one person in the Godhead. You'll only find one true and living God in the Holy Writ, in the Scriptures. Same God was back there in the beginning, is the same one. Even when you read through the book of Genesis, God Almighty, and then when you get into the book of Exodus, Exodus 6 and 3 said he appeared unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But he goes on to say, but by my name Jehovah was I not made known unto them. So he revealed himself and his name at the appropriate time. Because he was a fearful God out there, the self-existing one. They didn't know who he was. And so, incidentally, even in the book of Isaiah, after you leave the book of Isaiah, you never see the name Jehovah anymore in the Bible. But you still see the one God. Jehovah Jesus is become our salvation. So this is what we're trying to get across about the Godhead and about the oneness of God. So I think I left off, because I remember I did say St. John 8 and 58 when he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am, because they were saying, you're not even 50 years old and you've seen Abraham, because Jesus has made mention, he said, about Abraham. They were saying that Abraham was they were Abraham's seed. Let me go up here a little farther. Anyway, like I was saying, the devil is a liar and the father of it. So I'll go up here. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. See, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. In other words, Emmanuel, God with us, that was God himself. That's the mystery of it. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. That's talking about the devil. St. John 8 and 44. You probably have heard me make mention of this. And also, I want to give out our call-in line. Should you desire to call in, our number of our call-in line, 646-716-6566. 646-716-6566. And incidentally, you can. There have been those that have called in just to listen through that number. They called in and listened through that number. So should you have a question, should you have a comment, you are welcome. That is our guest call-in number, 646-716-6566. At 1800, or we would call it our show time, 6 p.m. in the east in the United States, of America on January 16th, 2013. So because if you're listening at any other time other than this, then you're listening on demand to our broadcast. So anyway, he says, because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? If I say the truth, why do you not believe me? This is a question. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. What a declaration. What a statement to make. Because these people were satanic. They were evil. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well, thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. That is God. I seek not my own glory. But, okay, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. So you got to understand what he was talking about. If you keep this saying, you will never see death. So if you believe on the Son, you have everlasting life. So in other words, you've got to keep on believing. So he goes on to say, then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. See, he's talking about the second death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? A question. And the prophets are dead. Who makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Talking about the eternal spirit, you got to understand. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I should be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. That's the same I am back there when he appeared unto Moses. Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, I submit to you that Jesus disappeared. That was another miracle when he disappeared out of their sight, because his time was not yet come. So I believe we kind of touched through here talking about the Good Shepherd in the 10th chapter of St. John. But anyway, that's not what I wanted to draw your attention to on today. So today what I wanted to draw your attention to is out of the book of Zechariah. This is what I have. If you're looking at the information on Blog Talk Radio, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. So we want to draw your attention out of the book of Zechariah. So we know Zechariah 12 and verse 10. So these things are going to happen during the tribulation period. They're going to see that the one who they crucified, the one who they wounded, when they see the wounds in his hand and all, we have made mention of those too also. And when did you get those? He's going to let them know I was wounded in the house of my friends. But here we're proving to you through the scriptures once again that there is only one in the Godhead. There is only one God. This is what we're endeavoring to try to do, and not to just to say it, but to prove out of the scriptures. So today's lesson is coming up out of Zechariah 12 and verse 10. So, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. They shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. So, mind you, this is in the Old Testament. God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things that be not as though they were. And that is in the book of Romans. So God declare a thing, it's going to come to pass. Nobody can stop him. Nobody can hinder him. Like Abraham, you know, he revealed himself unto him. He is the father of faith. So he staggered not at the promises of God. How are you going to do that? Through unbelief. But he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So, but anyway, what we wanted to do, let's say here, the father of circumcision, to they of who are not of circumcision only, but who walk in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, he had being yet uncircumcised. We know God chose Abraham, and he and Ishmael had to be circumcised, and Abraham, they both were, I believe, on the eighth day. Ishmael, I forget exactly how old he was, but him and his father both were circumcised, if I got it correctly, on the same day. But anyway, it goes on here, the promise should be the heir of the world was not Abraham or to his seed, though the law, but through the righteousness of faith. But they who are of the law, the heirs, faith is made void, and the promise is made of non-effect, because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. There it is right there. He's the father of faith. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him who he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead. That means he quick. That word quickeneth means to make alive. God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered, not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able to perform. Therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. And look at this here. Now, it was not written for his sake alone, but that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. So who is he talking about? The eternal spirit raised up that body. You got to look at what is going on. So these letters are written to, these letters are the children's bread. The born again believers can read these scriptures. You haven't been born again. You can't just pick up the book of Romans. Says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. No, these were people who were already saved. Incidentally, Apostle Paul didn't even start the church at Rome. He had heard of their faith in the first chapter of Romans, and he wanted to come to them to impart unto them some spiritual gift. Now, the church he started was down in Corinth. So this is so very important that you get an understanding. So the point being that there is one God. So any other God, and I don't have to call names. I don't care what church you call it. If they don't practice the apostolic doctrine or the apostles whom the Lord Jesus Christ himself chose, then that's not God's church. Got to remember what Jesus said. Many are going to false Christ or false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. So God is so faithful. He brings truth to people. So you got to hear God. And that's why John wrote, he that knoweth God heareth us in 1 John. You read those, the first epistle of John. So you got to want to hear his voice. And the voice of God is the word of God. Not to be, people just so caught up all in stuff, or false doctrine, and worshiping a man. You can't worship the man. And you don't worship Mary, the mother of Jesus. You don't do that either. Yes, she was full of grace, and all that Elizabeth had said, and those two were communing with one another. All of those things were true. But Mary was in an upper room with all the other disciples that he told to tarry in the city of Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was up there too in an upper room. She was there on the day of Pentecost, the 50th day after the resurrection, when the Holy Ghost was poured out. Mary, the mother of Jesus, received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of her sins, or the remission of sins. So you got to be born again. So there's only one way to be born again. And so God didn't get it wrong. The Lord Jesus Christ chose the 12, gave them the word. So that's very important. So we have to just humble ourselves. That's why he said, except your righteousness exceed that of the Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter in. Got to realize what was going on. They were still under the law. And there's only one gospel. There were four gospel writers. So nothing was contradictory. Got to understand what the scriptures were saying. So they got it right, the men that the Lord Jesus Christ chose. So all of this other foolishness, he even said in the book of Galatians, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel than that which we preach unto you, let him be accursed. Okay, so you know a couple of so-called movements or faiths that embrace an angel. He said, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel than that which we preach, let him be accursed. So you don't worship no angel. There is none other God but the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the same God. He's Emmanuel, God with us. So if he didn't die, if he wasn't written about, like we said in St. John 5:39, Jesus says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. So if your God wasn't written about, the prophecy didn't come forth about, seed of the woman to bruise his head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That's the first prophecy in the book of Genesis 3:15 about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the prophecy of him. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. Jesus, chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes ye are healed. Then Peter said, by whose stripes ye were healed in time past. If that's not your God, then he's not qualified to be God. If he didn't come and die and was buried, died a cruel death on the cross, and they lifted up that cross and dropped it in that hole, and he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men unto me. That you're not serving him, then any other so-called God that they want to call, say all praise and honor go to, it's not God, and I ain't got to say no names. Amen. So the God of all flesh is the same one that we're talking about, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that means there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female in Christ. He's not the God of the black man or the brown man or the white man or of any other man you want to call, but he is the God of all flesh. Does our soul have a color? That's a good question. But He said it's the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. St. John 6:63, Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. So, I'm not serving this man's God and that man's God, but I'm serving the God of all flesh. The dead in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good to eternal life. They that have done bad to eternal damnation. So you got to realize he's going to come and cry. And that is a proclamation just like he did before. When he came to the grave of Lazarus and he said, I thank thee, O Father, that you heard me and that you always hear me. But I said it because of the people that stood by. You got to understand, this is in the book of St. John. We can go there in the 11th chapter of St. John. We're talking about the same God. And that we're talking about in the Old Testament is the same God in the New Testament. And we're going to go quickly. I'm going to go to the 11th chapter of St. John. And I think we were talking about the Good Shepherd, which is the same one also. And he was saying that nobody can pluck them out of my hands. And so anyway, in the 11th chapter of St. John, so very important because this name Lazarus is so important. So anyway, we know how Lazarus got sick and died. And so here in this book, and we just start, we got a little time. Now, a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. So, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, excuse me. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, talking about Lazarus, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. And you know how that is with us. We hear about somebody being sick, and they say they're not going to make it. Then what do? We anon. That means right away. Or we make haste. Or we try to hurry up and get there. I'm telling you, this is the master. This is Emmanuel. This is the Lord, the King of glory. He knew what he was doing, and he took his time. So he abode in the place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Because remember what I just told you in St. John, the 8th chapter there, where he said, before Abraham was, I am, and how the Jews was going to stone him, and he got out of there. See, the Jews know that there is only one God. They had a problem. As a nation, they didn't accept Jesus as the Messiah. That's why they're going to look on him whom they pierced. So that's why the Lord wrote that scripture. So he's got to prove it. They'll know. See, not saying that all Jews didn't, but as a nation, remember in St. John, when we come on, said it came unto his own, and his own received him not. So them as a nation did not accept him as being the Messiah. So that's how foolish So they keep going to that wailing wall, wailing, looking for him to come. I mean, come on. He's not going to come. He already came. He's been cut off. Messiah been cut off. He came, gave his life, got up from the dead. He's going to appear to take his church away. That's not the second coming. The second coming is when he come back. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. In the book of Jude, you can see that. He's going to come, step on that mount of Olivet, and crack it in half. Going to open up. He's coming back to fight. He's not playing. That's the second coming when he comes back to the earth. The appearing is the rapture of the church. The appearing is the catching away of the church. And incidentally, whoever those folks was in that Mayan calendar, people, on December the 21st, our foolishness. What foolishness? Wasn't going to be no end of the world. That shows you how ignorant people could be. That's why Apostle Paul had wrote to the church of Thessalonica, I would have not you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you saw not, even as others, which have no hope. This is in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. For if we believe that Jesus died, will God and was buried, will God, even though them were sleep in Jesus, will God bring with him? This is 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. I'm going to go there before I come back here again. So this is to show you, you got to know what the scripture says. And you search the scriptures, and you can't go wrong when you're in the scriptures and you say what the scriptures say. You're not going to look crazy, because it's not that the world is not going to end like what they said. It's not going to end abruptly. No way. So he goes on to say, we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. What do you mean sleep in Jesus? They're dead. They're dead. They died in the faith. So this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. So we're not going to hinder them that are asleep in Jesus, is what he's saying. We're not going to go before them. They're going to get up before us. So anyway, he says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. You imagine, the Lord is everywhere and every place. He can leave you, come to you, ain't gone nowhere. He's everywhere, every place. You can't flee from his presence. His eyes, behold, run to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking on the behalf of those that have a perfect heart toward him. So he's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, all simultaneously. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive shall be caught up together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. He's so high and lifted up, he's in the third heaven, as we would say. He's got to come down to catch away the church in the atmosphere. Church is going to be caught up. God is so high and lifted up that he got to humble himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth. That's how high he is. But he's in us. If you have been born again, he's given us of the earnest of his spirit. So that is the appearing or the rapture of the church. The second coming is when he comes. Like I said, he's going to step on that Mount Olive. Crack it in half. He's going to have 10,000s of his saints with him. That's the second coming. Still not the end of the world. When a whole lot of things got to happen before the end of the world. So it shows you the foolishness of man. They look stupid coming up with this foolishness. They don't know what they're talking about. So anyway, but what I said before, you got to be born again. You're going to get up in that first resurrection. Like the Lord is going to do just what he did at this grave of Lazarus. So we go on here in this event. Jesus answered. They didn't want him to go there because he said they're going to stone you. The Jews of late sought to stone. He goes out thither again. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours? Are there not 12 hours in the day? If a man walk in the day, stumbleth not because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he should do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. So, who could say that? Some of these false prophets lying to people and all, trying to tell them to pay for a blessing. They could not speak. And I mean, the devil would do miracles in these last days. But the point being, you want to be saved. You, the false prophet tells so many lies, they forget which lie they told. So anyway, Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Now he went totally carnal. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Of course he already knew that. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And so that's about an eighth of a mile is 1 furlong. So it wasn't that far, just a few. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, thou hast been here, my brother had not died. What a statement. She knew who he was. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And that's something. She had to know the scriptures, and that's in the book of Isaiah. They said, death, where is that sting? Grave, where is that victory? That's the saying that is written. Death is swallowed up in victory. She had to know what the scripture said. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus saith unto her, this is the most profound statement. No man can make this kind of, none of them other guys that these people are worshiping and calling them honorable and saying all praise and glory go to them. They didn't die for nobody. They didn't get up for nobody. Matter of fact, they're make-believe gods. They're not the true and the living God if his name is not Jesus. So he said, I am the resurrection, not a resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? That's a question he put on there. So you got to keep on believing. That ETH, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. I submit to you, he's talking about the second death. He is not talking about the first death, which is the physical death. But the second death is eternal damnation. The second death is separation from God. The second death is the lake of fire. And nobody in their right mind don't want to go there. So he goes on. She said unto him, Lord, yea, Lord, I know, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. When he had said, so said, she went her way, called Mary her sister secretly, saying, the master is come. The who? and calleth for thee. The master is coming. Soon she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come, excuse me, into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave, to weep there. These were people at her house consoling her, concerning her brother. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have ye laid him? Of course he knew. They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And here is the most shortest scripture in the Bible. Jesus wept. Have you really thought about this? Have you really got a picture of this? No. Weren't just some tears running down his cheeks. He boohooed. He openly wept. He was all tore up. He was weeping and wailing. I mean, how can you describe someone all broke up, weeping? I can't even describe wailing. Weeping, weeping, and weeping, he wept. So he was our great high priest that can touch, be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. So he was all broke up, he wept, and said, then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. So they saw that he was broke up. And I'll give you an example that I kind of put with this. That is when Abner died, the captain, and during David's day, and the king said that there is a great man fallen today in Israel. He was a mighty man. You know, he went out, they stabbed him in the fifth rib, and he died. And he was saying, David the king wept and said that died Abner as a fool died, your hands weren't tied. Whatever. He said, a great man and a prince has fallen in Israel this day. So, in other words, King David, the son of Jesse, the father of Solomon, he wept. So you can kind of imagine what is going on here. So, you know, our time has just about got away. And so some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? That's a question. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone laid upon it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Then took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, here's what I said earlier. Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Remember now, there's only one spirit, one body, one hope, as you are called, your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. So I knew that thou hearest me always, but because the people would stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. So this is Jesus. When he came, he brought his voice with him, incidentally. So when he had thus spoken. He cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Notice now, there's a comma after his name. He called him. He got up. He said, Lazarus, come forth. He that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, those that were standing by, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. So you go on here, verse 48, I like this. Then gathered, verse 47, then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we? For this man doeth many miracles. So they, you know, they wanted to cut him off. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. Remember, that's a question they asked before the ascension. They said in Acts 1 and 6, said, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He let him know, let them know, not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So my point being right here, that the same God that made us, he's going to call the born-again believers from the graves. He's going to do just like he did before. When he cried, Lazarus, come forth. Somebody said that if he hadn't a call Lazarus by his name, everybody would have got up out of the grave. That's something, that's food for thought to think about. But you're not going to get up in that first resurrection if you are not born again. That is so important. Baptized in the name of the one that died for you. He is the same Lord. He is the same God. He is the same Savior. You can read Isaiah is talking about in Isaiah 44. 43, 44, 45, 46. Isaiah writes so many times that they're about the one God, and that none else, none beside him, none with him, none after him. Even the Lord said himself when he testified in the book of Isaiah, I don't know of no other God. Is there a God with me, beside me? I don't know of any. So it's so important, the oneness of God. And so this is what we've been trying to endeavor to get people to see, and then we'll talk more on next time. God bless.
Thanks for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in the glory. Let me read that again. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.